Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
How are you guys? Welcome to church this morning. We are but a couple of weeks away from possessing the promised land in South Bay. Are you guys ready? Oh, I tell you what, I'm excited. It's the beginning of a new era at our C3 South campus. It's going to be such an incredible time of growth, of breakthrough, of increase, of salvation across our city. So I'm super pumped. I'm glad you are too. Go ahead and grab your seats. It's always wonderful to be at South Bay. You had Pastor Jürgen with you last weekend. Did he behave himself? He did great. It is an awesome message. You're so right. So he behaved? Oh, I'm kind of a little disappointed. Really? All right. Because we've got to be just a little bit naughty. I'm looking forward. Actually, one of the most exciting things for me in moving into our new building is that when I preach, I'm going to be able to see people. Because movie theaters are all set up to kind of see this. But, you know, I want my eyes to be on you. So I'm going to be peering out there like this, making eye contact. And I want to say a huge thank you to the campus pastors here at our South Campus, Pastor Drew and Emma. I know you love them. Yeah, go on. Standing ovation is 100% appropriate. I don't know whether there is a harder worker than Drew Davies in this part of the world. I mean, he has given his all to making sure that building has come to fruition here. And if we have any builders in the place or anyone who's ever built a home or put together a business like we're doing, like we're putting together the church down in South Bay, you'll understand that it is not devoid of problems and issues. They're always there. It's literally another day, another problem, another obstacle to be overcome. So thank you, Drew, for being such a great steward of what God is doing here in South Bay. But I also want you to know, even the things that men haven't seen that you've had to battle through, understand that the Lord doesn't miss a thing, ever. He doesn't miss a thing. And I believe there's incredible reward coming your way, 100%. Because you can't give that much to the kingdom of God and then not receive back. God doesn't love anything more than he loves his kids. So, you know, and because you're building a house for his children, I'm telling you, get ready to experience the hand of the Lord and blessing on your life like you haven't seen before. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to do my best to speak to you without a lisp. I have just gotten Invisalign on my teeth. Okay, so I'm meant to wear them 22 hours a day. So if I'm kind of lisping a little bit, it's because I'm getting used to these things. Oh, this is my second time with braces. I don't know what is wrong with my teeth. They are rebellious. And how many of you have been to the dentist? And they just, I mean, I love my dentist. He's a beautiful, actually beautiful Christian man. But you leave the dentist and you just feel like an absolute failure as it relates to teeth care. Like, I'm not flossing enough. You just feel like a dirty failure. Like, and if you don't get these things on your teeth, in 3 years' time, you're going to look like a horse. You're going to be a mutant. So you just walk away thinking, how have I coped being out in public, like, for this long? Like, you just leave. It's like they have carte blanche on insults. It's like nobody in the real world would ever talk to you that way, but your doctor and your dentist just get to tell you, I don't know, you're overweight, you got this, you got that, your teeth are crooked and you don't floss well enough. And so anyway, all that to say, I perhaps may be stumbling over a few words today, but we're all family here, right? So it'll be all right. Okay. All right. Let's get straight into the message. You ready? All right. why the world needs a church with vision. So we're on the end of our Vision Builders series, the Vision Builders Month, and I really wanted to kind of just tie all the ends together today. We've heard a lot about the what of Vision Builders. I really want to talk about the why. Why should you and I be committed to building the house of God? Why, in a world and a time when we have so much personal need and so many of us have needs of our own in our own family, should we invest and should we give our time and our resource to building the house of God? Well, I hope to answer those questions for you today. Just recently, Pastor Jürgen and I were in our hometown of Wollongong. And as we were walking through the streets, I couldn't help but being struck in what's a very, very beautiful city. It's Wollongong is a coastal town, so beautiful white sand beaches, incredible rainforest. It really is somewhat of a paradise. But I couldn't help but feel as I walked through the streets and I saw little kids, you know, taking drugs and alcoholics kind of littering the streets. Addiction all over the place, dysfunction, parents screaming at their kids, just walking through the town and just seeing what was a geographically beautiful city just had this low-lying spiritual fog over it. And I kind of did some investigating and I kind of Googled, okay, what churches are in this city? Because how many people know you can be in a town or a place that's physically beautiful, but something's up in the spirit. You discern something. And that's definitely what I was feeling as I walked around. And there's even a park in the middle of town. And I said to my sister, oh, that's a beautiful park. Why is it empty? And she said, that's known as Pedophile Park. What? I'm like, how is that okay? Why are there not police station there 24/7? Until the reputation of this park is turned around. It's like they'd allowed this cloud and this darkness to exist in the city. And I tell you what, I kind of got a little bit, you know, of indignation over the state of this place. And I remember remarking to my husband and saying, where are the churches of this city? Where are the houses of God that are willing to stand in the gap and contend against this dark evil? And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the churches had fallen into the politically correct, seeker-friendly trap where they failed to step into a measure of warfare over the spirits that were trying to take dominion and precedence in that city. And here's what I found. I found that if we stay neutral as a church, the creep is always away from the power of God. The creep is always away from being people who engage in spiritual warfare. And we can all the time use it as an excuse and go, oh, yeah, it's because we don't want to look weird. Well, I don't mind looking a bit weird if it means we don't have Pedophile Park. Am I just going to say that right there? If it means we don't have teenagers with nothing to do, riding around on skateboards, smoking drugs at 12 and hanging out with 50-year-old alcoholics. Like, it's not okay. This is why the world needs a church with vision. Because there are some things in our city that are unacceptable and they will remain the same unless the church rises up with a vision to make a difference. So I'm going to just say, not on my watch. Not on my watch. So we might be a bit passionate, and oh, I've never seen people stand up in church before. Well, get ready. It's about to happen. Because we're passionate about things changing. You know what I think is weird? I think being neutral or melancholy about the state of the world and the dysfunction of the planet is weird. I think doing nothing in the face of terrible darkness is weird. I think that going to a palm reader and getting your palm read is weird. But you know why people are doing that? Because the church has backed up from a place of power. Oh, we don't want to be weird. Well, guess what? Have you read the Bible? Because it's flipping weird. A man got swallowed by a fish and got spat up on the beach. Weird. Lazarus, who'd been dead, for 4 days, came out of a tomb. Weird. Jesus spat in the dirt, rubbed it on a man's eye who was blind. He could see again. Weird. Oh, I don't want to be weird. It's too late, friends. It's just too late. Jesus set the precedence. Now, listen, you might be going, well, I've seen those churches. Look, we are so far away from that now. That is not even the issue. If people started snake handling and running around the room in wedding dresses with tambourines and flying flags, I'd say, yes, okay, that's the kind of weirdness the church doesn't need. But that's not happening at C3 San Diego, nor is it happening at many churches. And I think we've used that weirdness thing as an excuse for too freaking long. And things have to shift because the Bible says that heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So we have to be passionate in our prayers because the city needs the church to stand up. What did Jesus say in the book of Matthew chapter number 5? He said, somebody say you. Somebody say me, are the light of the world. What's the purpose of light? Somebody yell it. Yes, so people can see. That's why the world needs a church with vision, because they're stumbling around in darkness. Here's what Jesus said. This is Jesus' prayer request right here. In Matthew chapter number 9, verses 35 to 38, it's going to come up on your screens. Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues or the churches and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Somebody say every kind. We're going to touch on that later. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Somebody say compassion. Because they were confused and helpless. Hello today. Hello right now. Like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. So right here, we see a lament coming out of Jesus, the Son of God. We see the cry of his heart coming out in this scripture. The harvest is plentiful. Yeah. When I look around, I see a city full of people that are stumbling around in darkness. Yeah. I see young people caught up in all kinds of perversions and all kinds of issues that are not, they're not fit to carry at the age of 12, 13, and 14. I see people getting into all kinds of dysfunction, broken in every single way. But when I look at the needs of the harvest field, I see that we are unmatched because we don't have enough workers. The top of Jesus' prayer list was that you and I would become workers in his harvest field. I wanted to just bring forth three different thoughts today and really just illustrate them as best I can as to why the world needs a church with vision. The first reason is because the world has never been so confused. When you look at the world today, they don't know up from down, they don't know left from right. And I mean, it's baffling. And sadly, I think that we have assumed that people have a greater revelation of God than they actually do. Yeah. So I was raised, I'm almost 43, I was raised in a generation and a time where probably about 60 to 70% of the people in the world had some kind of God, church background or understanding. Most kids in my era, in my time in Australia, at least went to Sunday school. So they knew a few stories, they knew about Jonah and the whale, they knew about Daniel in the lion's den, they knew that God loved them, that God was good, that God was powerful. Not true today. Because the church has backed up and become a little seeker-friendly, and we've stopped evangelizing because we've become a bit obsessed with our own worlds. We've had a generation that have grown up and they have no understanding of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Judges, and I'll have my friends throw it up on the screen then, it says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, talking about Joshua's generation, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. And now have a look at the result of them not knowing the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Then those Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. So many of us, would, you know, we tout Joshua as an incredibly courageous hero, and he was. But probably Joshua's greatest misstep was the fact that the generation that grew up after him did not know the Lord. Wow. Now, we have to take responsibility for some of the stuff that our young people are facing today. Is it that we have not been good stewards with the gospel that saves, delivers, and heals like God intended us? Have we been telling the stories? Have we been teaching it forward? I want you to take a look at this very troubling YouTube video for a second about some of the ways our young people are thinking right now.
There's been a lot of talk about identity lately, but how far does it go? And is it possible to be wrong? We went to the University of Washington to find out.
Are you aware of the debate happening in Washington State around the ability to access bathrooms, locker rooms, spas based on gender identity and gender expression?
I think people should be able to have access to the facility.
I think bathrooms could and potentially should be gender neutral because there doesn't need to be a classification for differences.
I think people definitely should have the ability to go into whichever locker room they want.
I feel like at least public universities should do their best to accommodate for those who do not have a specific gender identity.
You know, whether you identify as male or female and whether your sex at birth is matching to that, you should be able to utilize the resources.
So if I told you that I was a woman, what would your response be?
Good for you. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nice to meet you.
I'd be like, what? Really?
I don't have a problem with it.
I'd ask you how you came to that conclusion.
If I told you that I was Chinese, what would your response be?
I mean, I might be a little surprised, but I'd say, good for you. Like, yeah, be who you are.
I would maybe think you had some Chinese ancestor.
I would ask you how you similarly came to that conclusion and why you came to that conclusion.
I would have a lot of questions just because on the outside I would assume that you're a white man.
If I told you that I was 7 years old, what would your response be?
I wouldn't believe that immediately.
I probably wouldn't believe it, but I mean, it wouldn't really bother me that much to go out of my way and tell you, no, you're wrong. I'd just be like, oh, okay, he wants to say he's 7 years old.
If you feel seven at heart, then then so be it. Yeah, good for you.
So if I wanted to enroll in a first grade class, do you think I should be allowed to?
Probably not, I guess. I mean, unless you haven't completed first grade up to this point and for some reason need to do that now.
If that's where you feel like mentally you should be, then I feel like there are communities that would accept you for that.
I would say so long as you're not hindering society and you're not causing harm to other people, I feel like that should be an okay thing.
If I told you I'm 6'5", what would you say?
That I would question.
Why?
Because you're not. No, I don't think you're 6'5".
If you truly believed you're 6'5", I don't think it's harmful. I think it's fine if you believe that. It doesn't matter to me if you think you're taller than you are.
So you'd be willing to tell me I'm wrong?
I wouldn't tell you you're wrong.
No, but I say that I don't think that you are.
I feel like that's not my place as like another human to say someone is wrong or to draw lines or boundaries.
No, I mean, I wouldn't just go like, oh, you're wrong. Like, that's wrong to believe in it. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't really bother me what you want to think about your height or anything.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
You, sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
If you thoroughly debated me or explained why you felt that you were 6'5", I feel like I would be very open to saying that you are 6'5" or Chinese or a woman.
It shouldn't be hard to tell a 5'9 white guy that he's not a 6'5 Chinese woman. But clearly it is. Why? What does that say about our culture? And what does that say about our ability to answer the questions that actually are difficult?
Wow. Welcome to 2017, people. I tell you what, as a Christian, there is awesome job security. Because the world is pretty jacked up. I'm just telling you right now. So it's not a time for us to back up and become overly sensitive because the lies that the world are believing are leading them to a place of destruction, that we've got to care about their destination. We've got to care about this stuff, because if you had have said to somebody 50 years ago, played them that conversation, they would have said, there's no way. Are you kidding me? And yet we are being ever so subtly led like lambs to the slaughter toward this new era. It's time for us, like the Bible says, to draw a line in the sand, make a wall, and stand in the gap on behalf of the city. We have to become unafraid to tell the truth, because the truth sets free. So we got to take some responsibility for the care and the nurture of this uprising generation. That's why, as a church with vision, we will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, and I'm going to say into the millions, into reaching young people, young adults, college students. I mean, that is a harvest field that is ripe. The level of deception is mind-boggling, and yet the church has backed up because they haven't wanted to offend. It is so, so sad, and it's just not okay. So we will invest our time, we will invest our money into inoculating a new generation of people from the poison that the enemy tries to bring them through the ways of this world. I thank God that my parents took me to kids' church every Sunday, where I was able to be inoculated, hit with the vaccine for all that ails the world today. Listen, if you're not bringing your kids to church, it's time for that to change. It's time for that to change. Well, my kids don't want to come to church. Well, guess what? You're the man of the house. You're the woman of the house. You know what Joshua said? He said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. He didn't just say, as for me. Guess what? I'm going to go serve the Lord. No, Joshua said, as for me and my house. I am taking my family with me to the house of God. So we will pour, I'm telling you, thousands and thousands of dollars to make sure that we have the best kids' church experience for our kids. A kids' church that is safe, that is fun, that teaches them about the goodness of God. I'm telling you, if you had read some of the stuff that I've been reading recently about what's happening in the world, and it's happening, to the most part, uncontested. They're now sending a drag queen in certain parts of America, and you can go on my Twitter feed to see this story, a drag queen into preschools. 3- and 4-year-old children hearing about gender fluidity. You know what those kids need? They need an encounter with a God who says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. All your days were fashioned for you, when as yet they were none of them. I know the plans I have for you. They are good plans and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The world needs a church with vision. The collateral damage and the stakes are just too high for us to back off into a little holy huddle and wait for Jesus to return. I tell you what, I for one am going to go out swinging. I'm going to go out swinging. You can go in your little cave and eat your food that lasts for 24 hours hiding from the Antichrist. But I'm going to make like Wonder Woman, get my shield, and run through the front lines. Bam, 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 bam. Have you seen that movie? She reminded me so much of myself. I was watching it going, I do that every Thursday at Cherish Prayer. Listen, I know I could not beat that many people in a fight in real life. But I mean, I tell you what, in the spirit, look out. I am the Bruce Lee of the spirit, the Jean-Claude Van Damme. All right. That'll do on that one. The world has never been so confused. Can we agree?
Yeah.
All right. So don't be bit by that whole thing of, well, I just don't want to interfere. Can you believe what that girl said? Well, it's not my place to draw boundaries and tell people. Yeah, it is. Do you know people are searching for someone to tell me who I am? It's why there are so many websites like Ancestry.com, because we're desperate to know who we are. Somebody tell me who I am. somebody, and they'll read their tarot cards and they'll go look at their star signs and read, oh, if you're an Aries, you're going to be this, that, and the other thing. Listen, there is something far greater than a star sign, and it's called the Word of God. And you and I have access to it for our own lives, and we have access to it so we can share the good news with others. So we can actually come into their world and go, you know what, you may be confused right now, but I know that God has a plan for your life. He didn't make a mistake when he put you together. He wasn't confused when he put your parts together. He knew exactly what he was doing. You were born with a purpose and an intent. Let me pray with you. Let me tell you who you are. You are a cherished, chosen treasure, set apart unto the glory of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. It's time for us to get vocal. Because people matter. And we don't build buildings because we want flash buildings. We build buildings because we're called to build people. We are called to build people. Okay, point number two, the world has never been so broken. Look around. Depression, anxiety, issues that relate to fear, going through the Richter scale. The statistics show that at least 80% of homes are touched in some way by some level of mental illness. There is brokenness everywhere, and it's the devil's plan, it's the devil's way, because he knows when people are broken, they break other people. And the cycle continues. And he knows if I can just line them up like dominoes and I just touch this one and I break them in such a way that then they fall and they break this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. And then the cycle continues through the ages. But I want to tell you that the Bible tells us that God has come to bind up the brokenhearted, to heal their wounds. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. We have the answer. That's why the church... The world needs a church that operates with a great level of vision. We don't run away from the broken. We help them. We compel them into the house of God, because when we compel them into the house of God, we compel them into a place that offers healing. The world has never been so broken. My gosh, they are in need of a savior. So I love the scripture in Matthew 10:1. It's the scripture that literally follows on after the scripture in Matthew chapter 9. And it says this after Jesus laments about the fact that the workers are few. It says that then he then calls his 12 disciples together and he gives them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Somebody needs to say every kind again.
Every kind.
Okay, so I want you to understand today that Jesus didn't just die to fix our broken bodies. He died to fix our broken spirits, our broken minds, and our broken souls. Just recently, I felt the Holy Spirit strongly say to me that the next level of breakthrough that is going to come into our church is going to come through prayer. How many cherished prayer meeting goers do I have in this place today? I want to tell you, we have seen breakthrough as a result of those meetings. We had a woman just 2 weeks ago, and she was, you know, kind of a shy woman. She had started coming to the prayer meeting from the first week we had it, and we had a time of testimonies, and it was powerful. This little shy woman who wouldn't say boo to a mouse shared her testimony. She said, "Nobody knows this, but my daughter had been struggling with bipolar disorder for many, many years, and it was tormenting." And she said, because of this prayer meeting, because of the prayers that we've been praying here, and we've been binding and loosing, we've been pulling the devil's work down, we've been elevating Christ and the kingdom of God. She said, because of the prayers that we've prayed here at Cherish Prayer Meeting, I asked Pastor Pam to come and pray with my daughter, and we prayed for her, and she's been completely set free of her bipolar disorder. Jesus Christ came to heal every disease. So some of you may be sitting back thinking, impossible, that's going to shift. She's going to go back to her old ways. Don't let the enemy come in with his doubt. Right now, I want you to believe in God. The Bible says that Jesus said, have faith in God. What is impossible with man, What is impossible with the doctors, what is impossible through medication, shall be possible with God. The next wave of breakthrough that comes into C3 San Diego is going to come through prayer. So if you haven't started to pray with the ladies on Thursday mornings, I want to encourage you to start. If your job means that you can't get there, then pray on your way to work. And I'm believing that the men of South Bay will start to rise up in prayer. I'm not sure if you already have a prayer meeting, but I believe you do. When? Tuesday at 5. Okay. I'm telling you, things are going to shift through the prayers of God's people. Isn't that what Jesus said? Pray to the Lord of the harvest. I wonder how often you and I have spent praying to the Lord of the harvest to raise up workers. Because the harvest is plentiful. And when Jesus was talking about the harvest, he was talking about his people. He was talking about his kids. And the Bible says that he was moved with compassion because they were harassed and confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So much need. And the world needs a church with vision so we can bring the answer. I love this particular story about mine and Pastor Jürgen's season in New Zealand about a particular woman, speaking of the world being so broken, that came into our church many, many years ago when we served in South Auckland. And, you know, on the outside, she was a dysfunctional mess. She was up in the balcony one Sunday, and my husband was sitting on the front row as our pastor was preaching, and two of our little youth leaders came down and they grabbed him by the arm and they said, Pastor Jürgen, there's a woman up in the balcony and she's punching her baby. She's punching and hitting her baby. And so Jürgen walked upstairs, and South Auckland was known for its dysfunctionality. It was a pretty broken place. In our youth ministry of about 100 kids, at least 90% of the girls had been sexually molested. So we were talking about a very broken, broken part of the world. And so Jürgen goes upstairs to see this woman, and sure enough, she's pinching her baby and punching her baby and, you know, putting her hand over his mouth as he cried. And so he walked over and he grabbed her by the arm, and immediately she looked back shocked and afraid and looked like she was ready to run. And, you know, again, on the outside, this woman looked like scum. I'm just going to be honest. Who hits their baby? Who does that? Who could possibly do that? But Jürgen looks at her and, seeing that she's about to run, grabs her by the arm and says, "Oh, no, don't go. We want you to stay. We want you to stay, and we want you to be able to hear the service. Can I take baby and take him out to kids' church? And we'll take care of him so you can sit and listen to the message." She kind of nods. She looked like she was about 35 years of age. We find out she's 20. Jürgen takes the baby out the back. The baby's little bottom was covered in rashes, and he looked like he'd been wearing a diaper that had been on for, like, gosh, at least 24 hours. And he was all covered in eczema, and his hair was scruffy, and he had cradle cap, like, flakes in his hair, and wasn't wearing any pants, and just a T-shirt, and dirty, and it was heartbreaking. And this woman sat and listened to the message. And at the appeal, she gave her heart to the Lord, and she was crying on the altar. And as we took her back for counseling, the story came out that this little boy had been the result of a rape. She'd been raped, and this had come after years and years of molestation at the hands of her own brothers. She was a very broken, broken young lady. You know, I thank God for a church that didn't run away from a broken woman, but put their arms around her and helped walk her through her journey with God. Now, it wasn't easy. Change didn't happen overnight, and we had to rely heavily on social services. Her child was taken away from her and put in foster care for a period of months to get healthy again. And when she became healthy, she got her baby back. She was in church up until the day we left. I've actually lost touch with her. I don't know how she's doing now, but I'm telling you, the transformation that God did in her life was astounding. And this little boy that came to church covered in rashes and eczema without looking like he was loved or cared for began to emerge as a beautiful little boy, just like any other little boy. And one of the greatest moments of my life was watching that little boy, his name was Brett, standing up the front of church. And we had a culture at the time where all the little kids would be in for worship. And we had bought Geordie a red plastic electric guitar. and he would rock out and jam out at the front as the band was playing. And then all the kids joined in, and one by one they all got their little guitars and they were standing up the front jamming out. And we got Brett a red plastic electric guitar, and Brett would stand up the front and he would jam out with the rest of the kids. I'm telling you, the world is broken, but the church has the answers. And God is looking for people who will come alongside and not run away from the messy, but help them get clean, help them get unraveled, help them walk through and work through the pain that has had them in bondage and kelp them under. Not saying it's going to be easy, but it's going to be so worth it. So worth it. The world has never been so broken, which means that the opportunity for the church, for you and I to shine and to stand and to be the light bringers in a world that just seems to be getting darker by the day has never been so important. The world needs a church with vision because the world has never been so broken. But we have the answer. Somebody say amen. Amen. And my last point, as I invite the band up, point number three, the world has never been so lonely. The world has never been so lonely, and this really seems quite odd since we've never been so connected in some ways. We've never had more LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, all these different things emerging in order for us to make connection, yet we've never been so disconnected. That's why I love our new South Bay campus. Have you seen the foyer at our South Bay campus? Have you seen the altar at our South Bay campus? Let me give you a clue. The foyer and the altar are the two most important places in every church. Because at the altar, we meet and we connect with God. And in the foyer, we meet and we connect with people. We are not a church that exists where people file in and file out and have no interaction. That's not the kind of church we want to build. Fooey to that. That's not who we are. We are not a place you attend. We are a family you belong to. The Bible tells us that God places the lonely in families. He doesn't bring the lonely in, you just give them a seat at church or just give them a seat at church. No, the Bible says, I'm going to put the lonely in families. Do you know what this is right here? This is a family. It's a family. It's a place where memories are made, where people are healed, where people work through their issues, where people face their challenges, where people get to love and be loved in return. I'm telling you today that God is creating a place in South Bay where the lonely will be placed in families. And I believe in this new season that we are going to rise as people who work and operate in the gift of hospitality. You might think, oh, hospitality, that's not an exciting one. I'd rather have the gift of prophecy. Oh, I'm telling you, the Bible says where prophecy fails, love will never fail. And you know one of the best ways that love doesn't fail or love is expressed? Through hospitality. You didn't know this, my friends, but your lasagna is a weapon. A weapon against the kingdom of darkness. Those tacos that you got passed down that recipe from your great-great-grandma who used to live in Mexico City, that is a weapon. It's a weapon of mass destruction against the enemy. And I would go so far to say that even in the four walls of the physical church building, you cannot have the breakthroughs that you'll probably have around a dinner table. The conversation that you have around the dinner table or sitting on the sofa in the living room over, you know, a cup of coffee and a couple of awesome cookies. I'm telling you right that there, that's where breakthrough happens. That's where you can pray for people. That's where their innermost heart and struggles can be revealed. God is looking for a church that will rise up in the gift of hospitality. Open your lives, open your heart. And listen, I can speak to you today about this with all authority because I do it. It's exactly what I do. I see Christmas, I see Thanksgiving, not as a time to squirrel away with my family. I open the doors wide. I've had many people, I didn't even know them. I turn it up, I'm like, yep, come on in, grab a turkey leg. Because the world is changed, not by the great messages, not by so much the prophetic words, but it's changed by the hospitality of God's kids to one another. Bible tells us they will know, the world will know, that you are my kids, my disciples, by your love for one another. The world has never been so lonely, but again, that's why the world needs a church with vision, because we have a vision. We have a vision to start connect groups, to build a church across this city that has doors that are open wide, to invite people on the inside, to share a meal with them, to break bread with them. And if you think I'm talking heresy, let me give you a scripture to back it up. In Acts chapter number 2, verse 42, the Bible says this. All the believers, somebody say all the believers, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, look at this, and to sharing in meals. So twice we're looking at fellowship and sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, which means you can bust out communion anytime. If you're sitting around at home and you're eating your tacos together and you're talking away and that neighbor says, you know, my family has been hit with sickness. Oh, it just seems like I can't cut a break. I'm always getting sick. One of the kids is always sick. Oh, it's the time to bring out that red juice or that wine, depending on which way you lean, and a cracker and take communion together. Let's do something about that. Let's pray and let's declare that the destroyer must pass over. Let's declare that he cannot touch what is covered with the blood. We have to be people that arise who arm ourselves with the gift of hospitality. Because the world has never been so lonely and it needs you and I to swing wide. Don't be so obsessed with your personal time and your private space. What do you need so much personal time for? What are you doing? Curing cancer? No. Then invite people over. Invite them over to your house. When was the last time you cooked a meal? And many people here, you'll be, well, nobody's ever invited me to their house. Well, you start. You do it. I've been in plenty of churches, and I joined every church I've come to. I've come as a pastor. And because people can be so caught up in their own worlds, which is sad, and we will constantly preach against that culture in our church, but because people automatically lean that way, then you be the change you want to see. Yeah, yeah. Nobody ever invites me. We'll invite people over to your house. Yeah. Nobody ever cooks for me. We'll cook for somebody else. Yeah. Open your house for somebody else. God always uses people, and quite often he'll come to you, even when you haven't seen the example around about you. And somebody say amen. So I want to pray for us today because, you know, there is a solution to the lament and the prayer that Jesus spoke about when he was talking with his disciples. The solution is becoming a church with vision. We don't exist here just for our current members, but we understand there is a world out there that is desperate to hear the gospel, to have an encounter with God. They're sick of religion. They're sick of bureaucracy. They're sick of politics. What they need is an experience with a very real God who has very great and real love for them. And it is outworked through you and I. Bible says that when Jesus left, he put his spirit on the inside of us. In other words, you and I are walking through the world. We are like little Jesuses. He's put his light, his word, his heart in us, and he says, I want you to go out. Stop so much praying about it. Pray, that's good, but I want you to go out and act on it. Yeah. Start to act on it. I wonder here today if there's anyone here today that would say, you know what, it's about time I started a connect group in my home, that I opened up my home once every 2 weeks to invite people in so they can listen to the apostles' teaching, listen to the word of God. We can break bread together. We can have fellowship. We can build friendships. You never know the harvest, the eternal ramifications of the decisions you make right now to become a worker in God's harvest field. So I want to put that challenge out to us today on the eve of us taking ground in South Bay. This is the kind of church that is going to see Chula Vista and the surrounding suburbs be transformed for Jesus. A church with vision. Can somebody say amen? A church that doesn't back up in the midst of confusion, doesn't add to the confusion or tut-tut at the world because of how far they've gone astray. We have to take some responsibility for that. We're a church that is committed to healing the brokenhearted because we've got a world full of broken people right now. And we are people that are committed to meeting the needs of the lonely. A welcoming church, a friendly church, a fun church, a celebratory church, a church that's inclusive, that's warm, that's open, not exclusive, not kind of set away with our own desires and own demands and own needs, but with eyes that look about to the needs of others in Jesus' name. Love it. If everyone would stand. I'd love you to just lift your hands to the Lord today. I'm praying right now in the name of Jesus that we would be a church that rises. We would be a church that would not be content to sit back on our laurels, to watch the world go to hell and condemn them as they go and judge them as they walk on by, but a church that's willing to engage with the lost, engage with the broken, engage with those who are stumbling around in darkness. Because one day we're going to stand before God. And sometimes it's so easy to forget that because of the things that we face every day, and it's often hard to think about eternity. But one day, you and I are going to stand before the Father. And in the book of Matthew, chapter number 25, the Bible says that on that day, God is going to separate the sheep from the goats. And he's going to say, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was a stranger, you brought me in. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was sick, you prayed for me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And we'll say to him, Lord, when did we see you? Sick or in prison or a stranger or naked? And he says, I tell you the truth, whatever you have done for the least of these, you've done unto me. Ah, and you'll remember. I remember that message I heard on that Sunday. And it compelled me and inspired me to look outside of my own comfort zone. And I started to lead a connect group and everything shifted. I want you to remember that God sees. This is not about pleasing man. This is about pleasing God. And nothing matters more to God than the welfare of his children. Will you be part of the army of God today and help bring in God's lost kids? Father, I thank you for these ones today. Father, as we receive the commission from heaven today, Father, we declare we will stand and make a wall on behalf of our city. We will stay the course, Lord God. We will not be confounded by the trial. We will not be confounded by persecution. We will not be confounded by those who would seek to pull us down or to mock what we are doing. Lord God, we will be committed to building your house. We will be committed to building and helping and nurturing and pastoring your people. Father, I pray for a spirit to wash upon this congregation right now. Father, when we take that ground, I declare it in Jesus' name. When we take possession of our new church facility, Father God, that our people of C3 San Diego would become inviters, evangelists. God, we come against fear and intimidation in the name of Jesus. Every spirit right now that would try to squash what God is wanting to do in this city, we take authority over it in Jesus' name. We declare the word of God over the city of San Diego. We declare the word of God over our colleges, over our elementary schools, over our high schools, over our young people. We declare that your church of God would be the most important place on earth. And all of humanity would stream into the house of God. Father, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Father, we will stand our ground in Jesus' mighty name, and we will build the church, and we declare the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody grab a hold of that word this morning. That's your word, believing for a shift. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.